All right, it all matters now. Maple Leaf season starts off in about 1 hour. Puck drop on the real deal for the Maple Leafs. It's the fan pregame. Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and Sportsnet, Sportsnet Plus, coming to you for the next hour live. Let's go.
Did it creep up on you? It felt like the preseason lasted forever, but also we arrived at this point very, very quickly. It might be like the starting a new show thing, new time slot thing.
That
might have been, so it might just be a personal issue going through at the moment, but it felt like it crept up on us today, and frankly, I can't wait.
Well, it's all Canadian teams in action tonight, taking on Sportsnet. Of course, the big one for us here in Toronto, Montreal, here against Toronto, and that doesn't always fare well for the Leafs, but we'll move forward, and we'll think about the season as a new one, because defining success for the Leafs is something that we're trying to debate. Like, what is that, winning the Cup? Is that winning another round? They've already done something that a lot of fans will be very happy with. Change the goal song. Officially, they are doing that, folks. Tonight, no more Hall & Oates. So if you head down to Scotiabank Arena, the first person to tweet out that new song is going to be aggregated and go viral.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I mean, you could already argue, yeah, successful season already. Maybe a successful start to the season, because finally this age-old question or debate will end. Like, we finally have a new goal song. And it took Kyle Dubas to leave for us to get a new goal song.
I didn't
know it was a Dubas problem, but apparently it was. So apparently there's going to be different songs different stages. It's a little confusing,
but I guess
we'll gain some clarity today.
A selection of 3 or 4 tunes based on original 6 games, next-gen games, throwback Thursdays, and a regular season standard to be unveiled tonight. So tonight, even though it is original 6, they're just doing the regular season song tonight.
Now my mind goes to Justin Bieber all the time when we're talking about,
he'll definitely be the next generation,
but he tweeted, I can't wait to hear some Hall & Oates.
I think he's throwing people off. He did tweet saying, can't wait to hear some Hall & Oates tonight. And then 1 hour later we find out the Leafs have officially changed the Hall & Oates song, so he might be trying to throw us off the trail, but nonetheless.
That may be the case. I think we've galaxy brained that, and we may be right. It might be a Justin Bieber song. But like, when we're being truthful in terms of what actually defines success for the Maple Leafs this year, like, I think there's obvious ones, right? Mm-hmm. Like progression, right? Can you win the Atlantic Division finally? It's something that they can only do when they play only Canadian teams win a division. And those things would all be great. But I'm of the mind that proof of concept will define whether or not it's success or failure. Because we got a new general manager. We have Brad Treliving putting his stamp on this organization that has been run a certain way for the last 5, 6, 7 years differently. And I think you can easily make the assessment that it's different because they brought in different bodies. It's not about, hey, can we be responsible around the core four? It's, can we actually supplement the core four? So if it works, if it feels good, if it looks like this is the way it should have been done all along, I think we can define success a little bit quicker than having to wait for the actual playoffs.
All right, we'll keep debating this question. What is success for the Maple Leafs? We'll keep recycling that. You can also text in at 590-590 or tweet either Justin and I what you think defines success for the Maple Leafs. But we'll bring in our first guest, Frank Saravelli of dailyfaceoff.com. Frank, thanks for coming on with us. What's success for the Maple Leafs? I mean, it's a hard-hitting question right off the top, but we need to know.
Yeah, geez. Thanks for the warm welcome, guys. I would say we'll find proof not in the concept, but in the pudding at the end of the year. Like, I don't care what happens this year. You can, if you want, hang a banner for winning the Atlantic Division, if that's what gets you excited. I thought that was only reserved for teams without many banners in their arena, like Nashville and Florida. But if really we're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, who everyone universally, I think these last 3, 4, 5 years has looked at as one of the, you know, best teams on paper in the league, you need to show something for it. This is not a new breaking news item. This is something that we've been talking about for years, is that, you know, winning one round, it can't be your bar for success. And I don't think it was, but it still felt to me like watching last year that there was like this exhale of, oh, we did it. We finally got through it. It needs to be so much more than that.
It definitely does need to be more than that. You're right, Frank. But it is different. It's definitely different entering the season than it was last year, both in what we see in terms of the roster, but also the attitude. Like, it is a little bit more laid back. I don't know if they've earned a more laid back sort of feeling from winning one round, but it does feel like that regardless. And I think a lot of it is Treliving. I think a lot of the pressure has been lifted, but not necessarily because they won a round. But if you do look at this team, Frank, on paper compared to last, and I'm not asking you to pull up, you know, exactly what the roster looked like last year, but it included the likes of, you know, Dennis Malgin, Nick Obey-Kubel, and now we got the likes of, hey, Tyler Bertuzzi, Max Domi. It does look a little bit different, at least up front. So when you do look at this roster and compare it and visualize what success might be, do you have more hope for the Maple Leafs this year compared to last?
I do, because I think, you know, you're talking about trying to find ways to improve on the margins, and you've got your core pieces, your core ingredients to success. And now really what you're looking for are different spices to add to it to see if the flavor is better in the end. I think that's the easiest way to explain it. And when you add someone like Bertuzzi, who I just think the world of as a player, and all the different things, the elements that he brings in such a good way. I was referring to him in Boston as Brad Marchand light. He's probably not at the same level of player in impact that Marchand is, but has a lot of the same attributes and traits. And I think you can pencil in for 30 plus goals this season if he's able to stay healthy all year. He's that good of a player, that much of an annoyance, that interested and willing to dig in and drag the rest of the team into the fight. And I'm so fascinated by the thought process that you have, or at least the vibe check of this Leaf team, is that it feels laid back. To me, like, I'd want it to be the exact opposite of that based on the real lack of playoff tangible success. I also wonder, though, because part of that kind of comes from the top. Like, I do think Austin Matthews has that vibe. Mitch Marner at times has that too. Like, how do you kind of break through from William Nylander? Definitely has that. How do you break through from that? And you kind of are, like I said, maybe some spices are tossing those different things in. Ryan Reeves is going to be a huge part of that. Talk to the Minnesota Wild about his impact coming in at U.S. Thanksgiving, and the impact that he made on that team. They wanted to try and find a way to keep him and just couldn't afford to do so with their cap crunch and situation. Probably not going to score any massive goals or show up on the score sheet in some way that you're going to be super excited about. But not only is he a deterrent, but I think needs to send a strong message from the Toronto Maple Leafs to everyone else in the league. There's not a single team in this league, these are cold, hard facts, not opinion, that is afraid to come in and play the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs.
Yeah, no one. That may be fact, and that may be true when the time comes. But just to your point on how, you know, they need to show that urgency, I just think the feeling for the last couple of years is that they tied themselves in knots to start the year. And it was so pressure-packed, and everything, you know, the world is going to come down if they aren't able to have success. And I think it did affect the regular season. And I do think the laid-back atmosphere to start could help when things are urgent, when the time does in fact come. Okay, so you were in the building last night in Pittsburgh, Connor Bedard's debut. You called for an epic debut season for Connor Bedard in your bold predictions piece. Was it the start of an epic season for you, for Connor Bedard?
I think so. I mean, aside from that opening face-off loss and forgetting your stick for warm-ups, I mean,
was he being pranked, rookie initiation, or was he really forgetting his stick?
I think he was forgetting his stick, but I also think there was a heavy veteran influence. I'll say that. I was talking to Corey Perry and Taylor Hall after the game, and they were saying, like, hey, we told him point blank, do not wear your helmet out there.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what happens in warm-up. You only get one debut, so enjoy it. And I think he did. I think the entire Blackhawks team did. You could tell the energy around that team, how much of a shot in the arm he's given the whole organization and fan base. That PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh was littered with Blackhawks fans. Grown, hardened men wearing 98 Bedard jerseys for an 18-year-old kid. The pressure has been immense. It was unbelievable in the scrum yesterday, like Stanley Cup final level media turnout. And one of the TV reporters from Chicago was asking him, what is it like to be in the pantheon of Chicago sports? He mentioned Michael Jordan and Kane and Taves and all these guys. And I'm like, hold on a second. He hasn't even played a single game yet. Hasn't taken a shift. So before we go to anointing him, and probably I didn't help with that prediction of 102 points, which, by the way, won 102nd of the way there. I thought it was a phenomenal debut, the way he controlled different parts of the game, the scoring chances, the shot attempts. You can see it. Taylor Hall was saying, look, I don't want to make a big headline out of this, but I said, how good is he? And he said, the real deal. Mm. So Taylor Hall has seen more number one overall picks than anyone on planet Earth.
Yeah, it's kind of like you forgot that Taylor Hall was even there. Like, it was Bedard. He didn't even get the goal. Someone else gets their first goal, and it's still Bedard's show. And, I mean, it's deservingly so. And I think it was interesting, the matchups that the NHL put with Connor Bedard to start a season. And clearly, he's running the gauntlet of the media cycle and against Sidney Crosby. And I wonder how Sidney Crosby felt kind of being aged out of the picture. And he was like, no, I'm not passing the torch yet.
You saw that with the draw.
Yeah.
You know how Sidney Crosby
cared
felt
about that draw more than anything.
He was like, I'm sending a message. Welcome to the NHL. You know, he's been asked for weeks about this kid at player media tour, all these different things. And, you know, Sid showed the kid a thing or two.
Oh, yeah, he sure did. He's going to work on the face-off circle a little bit, but everything else, you know, he's a point per game at this point pretty early on, but we'll take it. So, sorry, Frank.
Scout said to me, I just wanted to pass this along. Yeah. I thought it was a fascinating comparison at the first intermission. I said, what'd you think? He goes, well, first off, three shots a period. He goes, you do that, you'll be all right. Mm-hmm. And he said, this guy looks like Brett Hull that can actually skate.
Oh.
And I was like, wow.
I that's a thing to consider.
Just needs a GT snow racer. That's the only thing missing. We need to get at least something that we can put under Christmas trees in the future. You mentioned number one picks. You mentioned, well, Connor's. Let's go to Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. I don't think Bedard's going to steal the mantle from him just yet. So what do you expect this season for McDavid? It's not an encore. Maybe it's an encore for the encore for the encore. But what do you expect from Connor McDavid? Can he push it even higher this season than he did last, Frank?
I think he can, and I think that's the amazing part about Connor McDavid is that he's never satisfied. He's always looking for some element of his game that he can improve on. I remember, you know, coming off of a 47-goal season a few years ago, talking to him, what's your plan for the offseason? He said, I'm just going to shoot all summer. I want to score more goals. Gets to 64 last year, kind of effortlessly, like scary how easy it was. I think he's going back-to-back 60, first player since Pavel Bure, 93-94, to do it. I think the points you're only going to see ratchet up. But really kind of much in the same way as the Leafs, the Oilers probably going to have another good regular season, probably the class of their division, but it's go time. They need results, bowing out in the second round. Like, you can't continue to tell people, oh, well, we lost to the team that won the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row. At some point, that doesn't mean anything anymore. You've got to be the team that breaks through. And I think this is a year that they have a real opportunity to do so. It's as wide open, I think, as it's been. And not only that, but there was something about the way this Oilers team, Leon Draisaitl in particular, watching him at the podium after that loss to the Golden Knights, it doesn't always mean something, but it's as dejected and broken as I've seen an elite star player in a long time. And I think that was a real fuel for his success and training this summer, spending almost all of it in Ontario. Anywhere you went, Instagram, social media, it was Connor and Leon together. Mm. I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon.
A very popular pick for the Stanley Cup. 50% of Sportsnet staff picked them to win the Stanley Cup. I know you didn't, so I'll get to your pick a little bit down the road, but I want to ask you about a topic, obviously, that's been pretty hot here over the last couple of days, the Pride tape situation. Not only your thoughts on it, but just the outpouring of, I guess, pushback from players. We've seen Brian Burke as well today saying he wants the NHL to reverse it, but Scott Laughton saying, you're probably going to see me with it anyway. What are you going to do? Like, take me off the ice, find me. So I wonder how you think this is going to play out, if it's even enforceable. And if, I mean, it's a really ugly look to start the season. And I think it's completely backfired for the NHL.
Yeah. So let me back up and give you my thoughts on the entire situation. Mm-hmm. I was actually on board with the decision that the NHL made to remove Pride Night sweaters and all of the other military appreciation night, whatever it might be, all of the different special interests and causes, because one, I felt like the negative attention that it was bringing to it was actually harmful to those causes more than helpful. I thought, two, this is still Canada and the US. We live in a free country, free society. you've got to have the ability to express yourself and not have something force-fed to you. There's no gain in forcing or making someone to be part of something that they don't want to. And so I think it's important to protect that right. Now, that said, in the same exact breath, to remove someone's right individually to express themselves is draconian and so far back the other direction that they've not only totally lost me, but have gone backwards here. Because first off, it's in the NHL rule book. It says quite clearly, tape of any color may be used. There's no reason to dictate this. There's no reason to take this away. There's no reason to step out like this. So for me, I think hearing some of the players speak passionately about it, you've seen now the Women's Professional Hockey Union, their Players Association comes out today and issues a statement. You know what's missing? Where's the NHLPA? Where's the NHL Players Association? I asked them for comment 24 hours ago, laid out a whole, you know, list of questions for them to answer. Nothing, crickets. And for them to be on board with something that their players clearly feel passionate about, listening to them, you need to have an outlet and an ability to express yourself, and to close that off, I think, is wrong. And so that's my two cents on the matter.
Yeah, we had Bill Daly on yesterday. We asked if, you know, would it be a uniform violation if pride tape was worn? It was, I guess I'm paraphrasing, a we'll see, but it just seems like it was an idea that wasn't fully thought out. And with the reaction and, you know, the way it's been on the microscope, that seems pretty obvious. Okay, Ailish mentioned that you had a Stanley Cup pick that's published and been reasoned. And I guess it is a bit of a hot pick. It's not a hot one at Sportsnet, as Ailish mentioned. 10 of 20 going with the Oilers. But you, Frank, going with the Dallas Stars. So why are you so bullish this year on the Dallas Stars?
Well, they've got a track record of success in the playoffs. They've gotten to a cup final. They've gotten to a conference final. So they're battle tested. They're experienced. They've got a really interesting mix of young guys and older guys. I think when you look at the superstars that they have in Jason Robertson, and then now I think Roope Hintz is going to take it to the next level. The ace of spades is, to me, the most underappreciated star in the NHL. 75 points last year. I think he gets to 100 this year, and I think the Stars become the third team in the league that has triple digit scores this year. So to me, you consider their back end the most mobile in the league for my money. Not the best, but the most mobile. Miro Heiskanen, I think, going from a career high 36 points 2 years ago to 73, more than doubling it last year. That offensive production was the one thing he missed. And then Jake Oettinger and net. I thought the decision to add Matt Duchene after being punted by the Preds, you're going to find a highly motivated player who's obviously still pretty talented that fits and slots in perfectly on this team that still has some young guys coming. So there's a lot to like about the Stars, and why not Dallas?
All right, quickly, Frank, before we let you go, I can't help but notice you're not at the Phillies game tonight, up 6-1 over the Braves currently. What's your take on your Phillies?
Well, I needed that score update because when I came down to my basement to talk to you guys, it was 1-0 Atlanta.
They just got six runs in the third.
I'm very happy to hear that. And second, the reason I'm not at the game is because I'm talking to you.
Oh, goodness, I feel terrible, but we appreciate it.
We were worried that was the answer.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay, well, I'm so glad that they're up 6-1. We got to end our interview on a good note. Frank, appreciate you jumping on. It was great to have you on our show. First video caller on our show. Looks good. The technology works. We love it.
Love to see it, and see you guys next week.
All right. Well, thanks, Frank. Chat then. It's Frank Saravelli of DailyFaceoff.com. Yeah, Phillies are up 6-1, six runs in the bottom of the third right there. So there's your score update in the world of the MLB.
Yeah, it was back to our conversation yesterday. It feels like the wild card teams may be having a little bit of advantage. I if you take one on the road to start after the team that, you know, earned that spot sat out for a week, and then you get to go home in front of that crowd in Philly, which is going to include Frank Saravelli tomorrow, I think it is at your benefit.
There.
And yeah, it looks like the Phillies, it could be Rob Thompson's year. You know, we'll be okay with that.
We'll be okay if the Canadian Rob Thompson takes it home. All right, let's get to our segment, Bet Rivers Now. Time now for Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. Obviously, Maple Leafs hosting the Montreal Canadiens tonight. That's the game I'm tuned in on, and I have a perfect pick for tonight Auston Matthews, anytime goal scorer. He has the opportunity to be the fastest Maple Leaf ever to score 300 goals. And he's going to do it tonight. He'll be passing Daryl Sittler, who took almost twice as amount of games to do it. So I think he gets it on the scoreboard tonight. Also, with the fact that there's a new goal song, he'll be eager to have that one.
He wants to be the
because
one
of him. Okay. So I'm going Auston Matthews anytime goal.
That is a very Ailish pick, identifying a milestone and making sure that you can profit off that milestone. I also have an Ailish pick, which is the revenge angle, or at least like the common revenge angle with Josh Anderson.
Oh,
he always scores against the Maple Leafs. I guess he's sort of a local kid, so there's a bit of a revenge factor there.
He always scores against the Leafs.
Maybe it's just the fact that he always scores against the Leafs. I think we were doing the preseason. It was like 45% of games against the Leafs he scored. So a Josh Anderson anytime goal is plus 240.
Okay.
I want to do something a little bit different, though. Like maybe 4/5 of a unit on Anderson scoring at any time, and then do first and last at Bet Rivers plus 1,400 for both. So if maybe he scores an overtime winner, you get to profit even more off the inevitability of Josh Anderson scoring in Toronto.
I like that. I hope that the Maple Leafs don't have to go to overtime against the Montreal Canadiens, but nonetheless, could be a thing. That was Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. As we mentioned, the score, you can check that on 360, Sportsnet 360 with our MLB action right now. Coming up on the network, we'll have Montreal and Toronto, obviously at 7 o'clock. Edmonton and Vancouver, another big one. Ottawa and Carolina tonight. All Canadian teams are in action. All that to come. But tomorrow, also a massive day for Blue Jays fandom, as Mark Shapiro will speak to the media, much anticipated, at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So Blair and Barker will have that pre-show or pre-press conference, and then they'll break it all down afterwards. You can catch all that, of course, on our network. But it is kind of like anything is on the table type feel right now with Mark Shapiro and the Maple Leafs and the Toronto Blue Jays, and how Ross Atkins will be either supported or not supported when it comes to this.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's anyone's guess. Like, we just finished Bet Rivers. If we were setting a line on, like, whether or not he sticks by Ross Atkins or not, does it feel minus 110 aside? Like, I don't know which way I would be leaning. I would imagine that maybe a little bit of the information would leak out with everybody that we have working for Sportsnet trying to glean information from the situation. So I just think we don't really know. And I think nothing would really surprise me, at least to the extent of Ross Atkins last weekend, from Mark Shapiro tomorrow. Like, I think everything is on the table. I think there are multiple ways it could go. There are options he could take. I have no idea how it's going to go tomorrow. But if Ross Atkins, I mean, so Mark Shapiro rather, gets out of the, you know, this is the business, and now we're talking baseball. When Mark Shapiro is about to talk baseball, it's big, big news. And I think everyone's going to be on their edge of their seat, waiting to see what actually happens tomorrow in a highly anticipated press conference.
That will be at 11 a.m., so be sure to tune into that. And later on in our show, we're going to play some audio from Whit Merrifield. He was on the Foul Territory podcast, and I mean, he he was an open book about the Jose Berrios decision and on the game plans that the Blue Jays had, and maybe how we're leaning too much into numbers. So if you thought that this was something that we were blowing out of proportion, well, there's a Blue Jay talking about it on a pretty popular podcast. We'll play that later in the show. We will have Luke Fox join us after we take our first break here. He'll be live from Scotiabank Arena, where the Maple Leafs will be headed out quite soon for pregame warmups. We do have a fun little cute thing. Fraser Minton finding out that he made the Maple Leafs. He got the phone call while he was at Thanksgiving dinner at Morgan Riley's house. I'm just excited to see Fraser Minton tonight. I hope he gets a goal.
I'm surprised, actually, that wasn't your pick.
I might have personally picked that, but I didn't put it on Bat Rivers for today because I thought Matthews was a better one.
Yeah, and we'll dig into it with Luke Fox over on Sportsnet Plus at 6:30. We're going to catch up with Luke, who's at Scotiabank Arena, ready to cover tonight's game. But so many topics to go through with Luke. And Fraser Minton is at the very top of the list. Like, it is not often that, you know, not the first line, not Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner, not a second line in the pairing of William Nylander and John Tavares. It's the third line that I think carries the most intrigue with Matthew Nyes and Fraser Minton. That partnership that was so brilliant in the preseason is going to be front and center tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, he'll join us from Scotiabank Arena, probably give us like a pretty up-to-the-minute look on the lines. Obviously, we're going to want to see who's playing with who. I think we kind of get that, but Luke Fox will join us after our first break here. We'll be continuing on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Plus, so you can catch us after the break, and we're going to talk about Max Domi maybe or maybe not interested in taking his dad's old number. It's available. Sam Lafferty's no longer here, so that's all next on The Fan Pregame.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Fan Pregame. Ailish and Justin here on Sportsnet 590, the Fan and Sportsnet Plus. We need to send a very special happy birthday out.
Is it a special birthday
it's
now?
It's a special birthday. It is Daryl Hall's birthday of Hall & Oates. Mm. 77 years young. And happy birthday. Your song is stripped from the Toronto Maple Leafs goal song. Oh, I feel for him.
I felt like such a moron because you guys are buzzing about Daryl Hall's birthday. I'm like, who is Daryl Hall? But I didn't want to
He's
admit
like,
it.
Taylor Hall's dad?
Like, we got to start with Daryl Hall's birthday. I'm like, Daryl Hall? Who is that?
What a birthday gift.
Tough birthday upshot for Daryl Hall, losing the song. Maybe he would prefer it because it's like every year at this time, everyone's talking about how bad that song is. I think
it's
maybe
it's not even a bad song. It's just it's overdue.
It's just overdue. It's not even bad for the situation. In fact, I think it did work out well. But when everyone, especially the players on the team, want to hear something different, you're just like, you're gonna hear Hall & Oates till the end of time. I just don't think that makes sense. If they want to change, and it seems like a lot of people do, you should get a change.
All right, before we bring in Luke Fox, who's gonna join us from Scotiabank Arena in a few minutes, great stat was given to us yesterday. Chris Letang, Sidney Crosby, and Evgeny Malkin now have the longest tenured trio of teammates in North American pro sports history of 18 seasons. The trio of them for 18 seasons. That was A, shocking, make you feel a little bit old, but maybe this is something that a trio of Maple Leafs could one day break.
Which ones are we talking about? Well, I mean,
Nyes, Minton.
Nyes and Minton. It starts 10A.
Yeah, it does.
No, I mean, I think you could probably put Morgan Riley in there, but we are talking about Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and I guess William Nylander is a little bit more interesting. But I think that possibility is based on three key assumptions. Mm. One being that each of them can play 18 seasons. Only 159 players in the history of the NHL have played 18 seasons. So it's going to take something special individually for them to even last. But then that's also, on top of that, the fact that they don't eat each other financially. Like, if they just continue to compete for financial dollars and the hierarchy doesn't make sense, like, eventually it might not work between them. But I think the biggest assumption is, unfortunately, that they win. Because they're not keeping them together for 18 seasons if this trio can't actually have success in the playoffs. And we don't figure that out tonight. Season starts tonight. We don't figure that out tonight, but we're going to have to figure it out sooner than later. And of course, the Nylander extension needs to be done for this to continue. But I don't think it's going to continue if they don't finally win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like 18 years ago, the vibe and the setting of how superstars keep with their teams is a little bit different than now, where, you know, it's very success-driven and money-driven. So those three guys needing to share a significant chunk of change and also win are some big hurdles to try to make an 18-year run as a trio of North American pro sports trio of guys. But, I mean, how many years are we into it now?
Oh, you got to be like 7, 8, right?
Okay, 10 more to go.
Got a long way to go.
Baby.
And I guess, you know, it's important to note that Malkin, Letang, Crosby have won, and therefore you might accept some leaner years on the back half because these guys are legends of a franchise that has actually had that success.
All right, we're going to send it down to our buddy Luke Fox joining us from Scotiabank Arena. Maple Leafs about to drop the puck for the season opener against the Montreal Canadiens. Luke, how's the vibe down there?
The vibe is, I just saw Fraser Minton do his rookie lap.
Ooh.
He had his helmet on, though. He didn't pull a Connor Bedard. The vibe is no TikTok sponsorship on the helmets, and there's an All-Star Game patch on everyone's shoulder.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty loud here. You know, opening night. I'm glad it's finally here. It was a long preseason, and it's fun to finally get it going.
Yeah, you look all fancy with your tie and your suit. It's opening night for everybody, all dressed up to the nines. Maple Leafs will have a new goal song. This was breaking news a couple hours ago. A couple different goal songs, depending on the night, depending on the situation. I know you're a music guy. Any early indications or rumblings? Did you see a mixtape anywhere? Anything you can share about the music sitch?
Well, it's certainly the talk of the press box. Heaven forbid we talk about hockey. We're consumed with the goal song conversation. The theory seems to be that maybe it's Justin Bieber, just because is he trying to throw us off the scent with his social media post that he's excited for some Hall and Oates. The blue-eyed soul era seems to be coming to an end. I personally didn't mind it, but it had certainly run its course, and it's not as if it was tied to any great team success. The players wanted a change. It's time for something fresh. So I'm excited to hear what they bring out. And I guess the joke is, what if Jake Allen pitches a shutout and keeps the suspense going until Saturday? That would be something.
Yeah, then we got to continue to talk about it, and it will be the number one topic in the press box. And now they can kind of, just by making this decision now, they can just blame Kyle Dubas. Even if Kyle Dubas wanted a change, they can just blame Dubas, because that, of course, is the biggest change from last season to this season. But that's not the only change. The lineup looks actually a lot different. How much more confident are you in the starting point with this year, with Bertuzzi and Domi and Reeves, Klingberg, etc., compared to last year when clearly it was an incomplete team because Kyle Dubas went out and bought like seven players to add to the playoff roster? Comparing last season to this season, which I'm sure you've done many times, Luke, which lineup do you prefer?
Honestly, I prefer this one just because I'm excited to see something different. There's going to be a different flavor brought in with, you know, Max Domi, Tyler Bertuzzi, and especially Ryan Reeves. Do I think it's better? I'm not sold. I think the defense may have taken a step back. I think they don't have enough grit or size back there. I'm interested to see how John Klingberg goes, but I think it's going to be a bit of an adventure with him back there. He's going to get the start running the top power play unit instead of Morgan Rielly, which is going to be fascinating. He got banged up in training camp, so he didn't get enough reps with this group as he would have liked in the preseason. But I think, all told, I think it's better because of the way the Atlantic Division is shaken out and the fact that Boston's taken a step back, losing not only its number one center, Patrice Bergeron, but David Krejci as well. And I also think Tampa, on paper, has probably taken a step back. So when you look at the division, I think they're better positioned. But I think we're going to have to see how things play out here. I think defensively, the forward group is not as strong, but I think they're going to be more fun to watch, and I think there's going to be more scrums. So, I think we're just going to wait and see. But once again, this is going to be a fine regular season team. I'm not worried about them for them. And I also think Brad Treliving's going to address the blue line between now and the trade deadline. And what we see tonight is not what we're going to see heading into action in, you know, late April, May.
We're chatting with Luke Fox, our Sportsnet reporter, down at Scotiabank Arena. Maple Leafs take on the Montreal Canadiens at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet. You can check that out, followed by a couple more Canadian teams in action, Edmonton and Vancouver at 10 o'clock. Tonight is the start of the season, and we've seen slow starts for the Maple Leafs. Traditionally, the last couple of years, October has been sluggish. I saw that Sheldon Keefe was asked about that today and said that there's a bit of a different change of the approach to the training, to training camp and coming in for preseason. Do you know any more about what might have tweaked or would have been different? Because this is a conversation we've recycled almost every October about why does this team start so slow? So what kind of things could they have changed, and how important is this like first five-game stretch for them?
Yeah, well, the last two Octobers were pretty much awful. And then they needed fantastic Novembers to climb out of it and get back on track, and they found their way. And I think the organization took a long look at that. I mean, I remember the last opener in Montreal, Sheldon Keefe sounded off. He was embarrassed that they lost the Canadiens on opening night. The Habs are obviously a team in rebuild mode, and the Leafs fancy themselves a cup contender. So for them to lay an egg on opening night, it was not a good sign. So what he did was he talked to his best players. What do you need to get ready for the season? Why have we faltered in October? And they said, basically, they were tired. Sheldon Keefe runs a really hard training camp. What he did this time was he looked at the schedule, he talked to the players and said, what do you need? How many preseason games do you need? They played 8 preseason games. The core guys, the superstars on this team, basically played 3 apiece, and those were well spread out. So they did not have as strenuous of a training camp. Now, some people on the outside may be like, look, this team, all they've done is won one round in 7 years. They need to be pushed. But 82 games is a long haul. You want the guys feeling good. You don't want to overtax them too early. They're planning on a deep run, a long season. So I don't mind the fact that He canvassed the players and found out what they need, eased off the gas a little bit in camp, because preseason, quite honestly, is too long for this team. They come in 3 weeks before camp even starts and begin with the captain's skates. These guys are in tip-top shape. It's not like before.
Yeah, you could have given me 50 guesses, and I probably wouldn't use, you know, they're too tired for the excuses of October. But if that's how it felt, then that's how it felt. It does feel like this team's not as tightly wound as it was, and maybe a few extra days off and batting practice with the Toronto Blue Jays is
they should have played for the Jays.
And the Drake, Drake concert, too. The Drake concert.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
where we saw Ty Domi.
And I think that segues beautifully into a question about Max Domi. Mm-hmm. Max Domi being a Leaf is quite the elixir to me. It's like nostalgia and need and intrigue. There's a lot that goes into it. He's not going to take number 28 from Sam Lafferty and I guess his father. But this is a big night in the Domi household, I would imagine. What are your expectations for Max?
It's interesting. My expectations for Max is that he's going to be fired up. I don't think it was any accident that in each of his first three preseason games, he took a penalty in all of them. He's going to be engaged. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I asked Sheldon Keefe about that, about finding the line with this guy, because he certainly has skill. He has the talent, but he's also not afraid to mix it up and wear his heart on his sleeve. And, you know, it's kind of been his trademark as he's bounced around the NHL to a bunch of teams and finally landed with his father's old team. And Sheldon Keefe said, basically, I'd rather try and tone a guy down than get him revved up. And Max Domi is a guy that you don't have to get revved up. He's going to come ready to roll. And he's certainly aware of the legacy his father has, ties in the building tonight, of course. But, you know, he wants to carve his own path. And I think that speaks to him avoiding the number 28. He said, you know, he had a great line saying that the number 11 makes him look taller. He's certainly not the tallest guy out there, but he's going to be in the mix. He's not going to back down. He's going to stick up for his teammates. Defensively, there's going to be moments where I think he frustrates fans and probably his coach, but he's also going to provide some secondary scoring, a guy capable of maybe providing as many as 20 goals on the third line. So I think he's going to provide a lot of character, and I think he's going to provide some great quotes to people like me throughout the season as well.
Okay, vertical stripes, Max. I'll keep that in mind. Because
you don't want horizontal.
Nick Kiprio said to me when I first met him, you're a lot taller on radio, and I've been thinking about that ever
since. He said that to you.
Yeah, I mean, I am a lot taller on radio.
That's a good compliment.
That's kind of mean.
It's kind of backhanded, actually.
It's kind of backhanded.
Whatever, if Kipper acknowledges you, that's a win. So,
that is true.
I mean, that's a big one for us. Okay, we're talking to Luke Fox down at Scotiabank Arena. Okay, so we know there's big expectations for the core four, but I think Austin Matthews can really solidify this as like one of his defining seasons. Obviously, there's a lot of hype about this Maple Leafs team, but Matthews didn't have the Matthews season last year, and he had some injury concerns as a bit of an excuse, but he's got the opportunity to score his 300th career goal tonight, which would pass Sittler for the fastest ever as a Maple Leaf. What do you expect from Austin Matthews? Can he continue to put himself in that Hart Trophy conversation? How many goals is he going to score? Is he going to push 60 again? What can we expect? What do the Maple Leafs need to expect from Austin Matthews?
Well, I think they need him to be in the Hart conversation. I don't think that's too much to ask. Mm-hmm. The guy's going to be the highest paid hockey player in the world starting next year on a per annual basis. You know, a 50% drop off in goals going from 60 to 40. And, you know, no shame in 40 goals. I mean, a lot of us would kill to have that kind of a season and call that an off season. But certainly he wasn't satisfied, right? And he has personal goals he's set for himself this season. He's very good at keeping those quiet. He doesn't want to make his individual goals public. But I think the big change with Austin in particular is that he's had some trophies on the mantle. He's broken some records. It's really all about team success. And I think the biggest sign of that was him getting his deal settled early. He didn't want the distraction. He wanted to set the tone for his teammates and reassure them that he was in this for the long haul. They got five more years of this guy, one of the most dynamic players in the world. And it's like, follow my lead. Let's go. I think he's really grown into a leadership role with this team. His defensive play is off the charts. That's being exemplified by the fact that he's thrown himself into killing penalties in camp. And that's something he's never done at any level of hockey. You know, he's always been the power play guy, the five-on-five guy. The fact that he's willing to take on the penalty killing role and has been asking questions and been in meetings and wants to really embrace rounding out his game, I think speaks to him as a team player. Now, in saying that, I don't think he'd be happy with 40 goals. I think he needs to get back up into 50. I think he wants to be in the conversation with Leon and Connor and Nate McKinnon and these guys as the best in the world. And I think the fact that he's coming in healthy, he's got healthy line mates, great supporting cast. There should be no excuses.
From the future highest earner in the NHL to a guy who's going to be earning in the 800,000s for the next couple years, Fraser Minton is the surprise of camp for sure. How much, if any, does the season hinge on Minton making a step forward or a leap forward that no one really expected?
Oh, I'm not putting the season on this kid. I just think it's a wonderful individual story for him. And I think he's like an incredibly mature young man. He blows me away every time I talk to him and every time I watch him on the ice. You know, one thing I noticed that hasn't been talked about is the details in his game. Shift length. The guy never extends the shift. You would think a kid that's trying to make a hockey team would be trying to do too much, stay out too long. He always gets off, takes short shifts, never leaves his line mates in a bad spot, is always defensively responsible. He's got a great stick, but he's not trying too hard. He's not dynamic. He's not flashy. He's probably not going to make any highlight reels, but more often than not, the puck ends his shift with it in the offensive zone, and then he goes off. I think it's a wonderful story. Even if he gets sent down after 9 games and rejoins his junior team and gets another look there, would it be great if he turns into a bona fide third line center? Sure, but I'm not pinning the season on him. If he doesn't work out and needs more development, that's on Trey Living and Keith to figure it out.
It definitely is, and it wouldn't be fair to put that on Fraser Minton, but I just don't know who plays third line center if it's not Minton. I mean, what would be the fallback plan for you right away, Luke, if, hey, mm-hmm. 9 games and it's time to go back to the dub?
Well, they'd be scrambling, right? They'd be putting Nylander there. When really deep down they want him as a winger, and he's a fantastic winger in this league, they would be bumping David Camp up to 3C and bringing up Holmberg to 4C. They'd be trying Noah Gregor at center. They'd be scrambling. They'd be trying different things. Maybe they'd bring Alex Kerfoot back. Like, I mean, they just don't have a suitable option. Really, it's probably something that gets addressed later down the road by the trade deadline. And the same thing they did by bringing in Ryan O'Reilly as a rental. I think we watch it play out. And if a third line center doesn't emerge, if it's not Minton, this is something they can address midseason.
Luke, I noticed you were one of many that did not select the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup from our Sportsnet staff. Nobody did. Is this like a reverse psychology, like a non-jinx type event, or you really don't believe it's their year?
Well, I just try to take the most well-rounded team, and I picked the Dallas Stars. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think it's a great team. I put them among a group of contenders. I don't love their blue line. I don't love their goaltending. We'll see how it plays out. They can prove me wrong, and I think it would be fantastic for the city and for the country to have a Canadian winner. But, you know, I got to be unbiased.
Well, then nobody city, else picked
it. I like the Dallas Stars.
Go ahead, sorry. Dallas Stars. Well, you're not alone in that one. I know you've had a couple Dallas Stars selections as well. Luke, we'll let you get set for tonight's game. Appreciate you joining us from Scotiabank, and we'll definitely be catching up soon. Go Leafs go, and big night tonight at Scotiabank. That was Luke Fox, our Sportsnet reporter, joining us, as I said, from Scotiabank Arena. They'll be on in about 12 minutes. You can catch it on Sportsnet. Puck drops against the Habs.
Yeah, Herculean effort. I mean, 12 minutes before the opener in the press box. And yeah, we had to let him go, but I'm surprised that we were able to hear him as well as we were.
Yeah, I didn't hear any of the pregame music. Like, he's got some great sound.
Saving it all for the goal stuff.
Yeah, maybe it's just silent out there. It'll be a fun one down there. I mean, this rivalry is pretty epic. We've obviously seen some preseason action between them. We were down there for that one, and it was already a rowdy crowd, so I cannot imagine that tonight will be anything but electric. So looking forward to seeing who gets that first goal for the Maple Leafs. Last year it was Michael Bunting. The year before, Pierre Engvall, William Nylander, Freddie the Goat. Remember him? Austin Matthews, Nazem Kadri. The list goes on there. Who gets the Leafs' first goal tonight?
I mean, I kind of bet Josh Anderson. I don't know. That's not the
Leafs' first goal.
Okay, so that's just the first.
It's Matthews for me. It's his season.
I don't know. I feel like a Tyler Bertuzzi night might make sense.
You know what another revenge angle is? Max Domi against his former team. He said, oh, Montreal's better than Toronto. He did that, played it up for the media when he's in Montreal, and now he's a big old Toronto kid.
The revenge angles are endless.
It yeah,
just feels like
a
you could always pull one. And that's a good thing when you can pull one of those revenge angles from Montreal and Toronto, because, of course, that's a rivalry that should have those little anecdotes.
Okay, we have a second here to play the Whit Merrifield clips before we take our final break and send you off into the night. Whit Merrifield on the Foul Territory podcast. Two quotes here, one on Jose Berríos and a decision to pull him. And we're bringing this up because tomorrow Mark Shapiro will speak to the media at 11 a.m., which will be very important to know the direction of this team. But Whit Merrifield, who may or may not have a future with the Blue Jays, had this to say about Jose Berríos being pulled from the game.
I hated that Jose didn't get a chance to go out and have that like signature, I'm putting the team on my back, get out of my way type game. I thought he earned that chance. He was great for us all year, and he was absolutely dealing.
So he's not shying away from the fact that he hated it. He used the word hate, and a lot of players have kind of tiptoed around saying that it wasn't the right decision, but it was the decision of John Schneider, apparently. And we might find out more about that with the press conference tomorrow. But if your players are coming out and saying they hate something, they hated the decision, I'm just feeling less and less confident about the vibe of this team.
Well, I think that was the only thing I did like from that fateful night, I guess, mm-hmm. or afternoon. It was that the players hated it just as much as the fans. Like, if you're going to take solace in anything, it's that everyone was kind of on board. It may mm-hmm. have taken someone to be the most honest that was likely on his way out, like Whit Merrifield, but he continues mm-hmm. to be honest, and I guess he echoed what he said, but he also kind of went further on about the philosophies, right? And the philosophies he might be leaving behind, and the fact that feel is less important mm-hmm. now. So he continued his thought on foul territory here.
Our coaches and front office had their game plan going into the game, and it looks bad because it didn't work out. But from a baseball player's standpoint, there's a lot of times where we've gotten so focused and so stuck on numbers and not letting a pitcher face a lineup for a third time, or this righty face this righty, or we can't let this lefty face this lefty. When you're locked in and you're going, it doesn't matter that I don't care when I'm feeling good. I don't care if they got a right-handed submariner or slinger coming in throwing 95 from the side. It doesn't matter because I'm locked in, and I'm gonna hit this guy.
There's the truth of the matter is I don't too much numbers, too much thinking. Like, there's no feel of the game. If you're not having that as a player, not having that as a management group, an ownership group, a front office group, it's messy, messy, messy.
Yeah, and I don't know if we should take too much from like who's still remaining in the playoffs, but look at a guy like Bruce Bochy. And I don't really know what Bruce Bochy's all about in terms of like how much data he's mm-hmm. consuming and how he really feels about analytics and the like. But what I have seen from the Rangers, who have made it easier on their manager by scoring a ton of runs, but I have seen a manager just trust his best pitchers mm-hmm. and let his guys go out there and pitch as long as they need to. And I do feel like those who don't oversimplify things, trust their eyes, trust what's actually happening on the field, mm-hmm. I mean, that should probably be the first priority. That should probably be the number one objective. And when you are told multiple times, yeah, third time through, it doesn't work, and you see the cracks start to form, then yeah, pull them. Mm-hmm. Go to the bullpen. But if those cracks aren't forming and you're just going off the data, going off exactly what the plan was coming in, then you are too rigid, and I think rigidity gets you in trouble when you're managing baseball games.
All right. Highly anticipated press conference tomorrow, 11 a.m. Mark Shapiro will have that on our station. Blair Barker will set that up for you and react to it. And I'm sure we'll be able to do that tomorrow when we're back on the air at 6 o'clock. After us here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, you'll have ALDS Game 4, Minnesota and Houston. That will be...
Must win for the Twins.
Must win for the Twins. And, of course, lots of hockey here tonight on Sportsnet. Maple Leafs and Montreal Canadiens. That's at 7 p.m. That's right after we get off the air. Edmonton and Vancouver with the nightcap. And Ottawa and Carolina at 7. That's on Sportsnet 1. Lots of viewing tonight. Cannot wait to race home and get on my couch and not move.
Yeah, we better get going. We got to be there for puck drop for sure. It's Habs, it's Leafs. It just doesn't get any better.
All right, can't wait to break it all down tomorrow at 6 p.m. That was us on the Fan pregame. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll